Good morning and welcome to our worship on this, the sixth Sunday of Easter. Hard to believe. I want to welcome you all to our service. Even though it's virtual, we can still worship the Lord together. And we hope that your families are doing well at this time. Thank you for joining us. Got a few announcements to make. First of all, our COVID update. Phase 3 begins on the 31st of this month, and with this new phase, there will still be a 10-person limitation. So we are going to be sending out an email this week with a plan that's been approved by the elders to distribute Holy Communion. It will happen most likely on Sunday afternoons and possibly Tuesday through Thursday during the week. During the daytimes, we just need to set up appointments. So we will be in contact with you about that. Next on the agenda is we had a baptism yesterday with Finley Brooks Grant. His parents, Nathan and Hannah Grant, and his godparents were in attendance with Matt and Gail Woodall. And you will see that service. It is going to be inserted into this service. So we praise God for him, God bringing into our church family, into his kingdom, this beloved little child who will be called Finn. We wanted to also let you know that Susan Oberhoy, Muriel Mayer's sister, passed away this past week, and she was taken by the angels of God into God's glorious presence, and we are thankful for her faith and for the wonderful sister that she has in Muriel, who we cherish here at Blessed Savior. We're also going to be adding a prayer this week, probably some extras too, but I wanted this one to be announced. Paul Klaus is Chris McManus's brother, was in a very serious car accident. Body was brutally injured and had a brain bleed. He was at the ICU in Cape Girardeau, and in 5 days he was out of the ICU, so big praise to God for that. And then there's just one last thing. There was a clip that we received just a little bit too late to include in our Mother's Day video clip with the kids last week. This one had to travel by boat from far away. And so we wanted to include it. So enjoy.
Hey, Mom. It's Kevin checking in from Shanghai, China. And wanted to say, sorry I can't be there for your special day, but just want to wish you a happy Mother's Day, or as we say in Chinese, Wu Qian Jie Kuai Le. Love you.
We turn our attention now away from the business of the church to this glorious God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who rose from the grave in 3 days and promised to give us new life. We will turn the service over now to Pastor Matt, who will lead us in the liturgy.
We begin our worship this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening sentences come from Psalm 66. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. And he has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer, or removed his steadfast love from me. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts. Cleanse us from all our offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength, through Jesus Christ, your Son. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. May the God of mercy, who forgives us all of our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and the power by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We take this moment now to share the peace with those among us.
So loved us, God so loved us.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. In obedience to the command of the Lord and trusting in His promise, you have brought this child to be baptized. Jesus told us, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." It is in baptism that God grants the new life of forgiveness, joy, and peace to the little children. By the power of God's word, this gracious water of life washes away sin, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe. Finley, receive the sign of the cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. How is this child to be named? Finley, Brooks, Grant, I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has forgiven you all your sins. By your baptism, you are born again and made a child of your Father in heaven. May God strengthen you to live in your baptismal grace all the days of your life. Peace be with you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord commands that we teach His precious truths to all who are baptized. Christian love, therefore, urges all of us, especially parents and godparents, to assist in whatever way possible so that Finley may remain a child of God until death. If you are willing to carry out this responsibility, then answer, "Yes, as God gives me strength."
Yes, as God gives me strength.
Let us pray. Merciful Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing of baptism, by which you offer and grant the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Help us to regard our baptism as the robe of righteousness we are to wear all the days of our life. And look with special favor on little Finn and grant him a rich measure of your Spirit that he may grow in faith and godly living. Make us willing to carry out our responsibilities to those who have been baptized, so that all of us may finally come to the blessed joys of heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Make an alliance to you. Receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ and be ever watchful for His coming, that you may meet Him with joy and enter with Him into the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, which will have no end. In holy baptism, God has made Finley a member of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and a fellow heir of all the treasures of heaven. Finley, speaking on behalf of the congregation, I know you're a little young to understand this, but thank God for technology. On behalf of the congregation, we are so proud and honored to receive you in Jesus' name as a brother in Christ. We welcome you into our fellowship to hear God's word, receive His gifts, and proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. As your parents carry you home, know that on the last day, your Lord Jesus will carry you into His mansions of glory. Amen. One of the special joys for me in baptism is presenting the baptized to the congregation. Because of the restrictions imposed to protect little Finn, we'll just try to get a little closer to the screen and get you guys in together and present Finley to the congregation. So if you guys want to just come together on the other side of the font there, and we'll get you in front of the camera so people can see you. This is little Finley Brooks Grant, baptized in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we welcome him into our family. We also want to thank Matt and Gail Woodall, who are his godparents, and also to Nathan and Hannah and Bailey for being such great family to Finn. So we are so proud of you all and so thankful that you're part of the family here at Blessed Savior. May God continue to bless you all your days. Amen.
Let us pray. God our Father, you protect your children from all that would harm our salvation. Give us the courage of faith and love toward you, that we have boldness to live for you and confess your holy name before all, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Our worship continues with readings from Holy Scripture. The first reading for the sixth Sunday of Easter is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17. Now while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus Christ and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' But therefore you worship as unknown. This I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods in the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God, and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Peter, the third chapter. "Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ, the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that, when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers, having been subjected to him. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." And this is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We continue our worship with our sermon hymn.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Is that all there is? Back in the 1950s and 60s, one of the best-known female singers was Peggy Lee. She had a hit song that was entitled, "Is That All There Is?" And it has to be one of the saddest songs you will ever hear. The singer begins by telling of a time in her childhood when she stood on the pavement watching a home burn to the ground. Then she sings, "Is that all there is? If that's all there is, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball, if that's all." She speaks again, telling of going to a circus and enjoying seeing the clowns, the trapeze artists, the various animals, and so forth. Yet when the entertainment is ended and it's time to leave, she again sings, "Is that all there is?" Then she speaks of being in love with one of the most wonderful boys in the world. She tells of the joy she had when she was with him. And then one day, he went away, and she thought she would die. So she sings hopelessly, "Is that all there is?" Toward the end of the song, she says people may ask, if her life is so tragic, why doesn't she just end it all? Her answer contains the saddest words of all. She says, "Oh no, not me. I'm in no hurry for that final disappointment." Yet in the meantime, she will keep on asking, "Is that all there is?" This song was taken from a story by a German author some of you may know, Thomas Mann. The article of the story was called Disillusionment. In the story, one of the characters says, "Do you know what disillusionment is? Not a miscarriage in small, unimportant matters, but the great and general disappointment which everything, all of life, has in store." The character goes on to say that all of the great experiences of his life have left him with that feeling, "Is that all?" It's no surprise that this Nobel Peace Prize laureate lived during the rise and fall of Adolf Hitler. Many in that day were filled with disillusionment and disappointment. Both the song Peggy Lee sang and the story that inspired it are real downers. They proclaim that this life is a miserable experience, and what happens at the end of it is nothing but a final disappointment. I believe we can all understand the feeling expressed in the song. Surely everyone has had a blue period in their life. Life for each of us has its down periods as well as its up times. And sadly for some, the down times seem to overshadow those up times. Perhaps that's why some 30,000 Americans each year decide to end it all by taking their lives. How should Christians feel about the whims of life, the highs and the lows, the brights and the blues, the sometimes long periods of pain and the seemingly short times of joy? There are plenty of times in life when, regarding troubles, we ask why. Why should this setback, this loss, this agonizing, persistent pain cling to me? Truth be told, God has yet to explain everything to anyone. So we are left with faith trusting that God will help us make some sense of life sooner or later. Either that, or we are left with a life that is meaningless. We who follow Christ have been given a gift of faith so that we trust that the creator of this fascinating puzzle we call life understands clearly the entirety of our lives in this confusing world. We trust that God will see to it that our lives ultimately make sense and will be resolved with victory for us. We remember so well Paul's words. We know that all things work together for the good of those that love God. The hard and glorious truth of our hope centers in the glorious God, the glorious good news we celebrated some 5 weeks ago. That is Easter. We should never underestimate the great significance of the resurrection. For it, above everything else we believe and teach, spells out most clearly the foundation of our hope. It is the bedrock of our beliefs. The Apostle Paul explains that clearly when he says to the Corinthians, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." If for this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But then further on in the chapter, Paul states the reality of this matter. "Thanks be to God," he says, "who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And there you have it. Life today, as well as the end of life at some future time, always has something more to offer. There is more to come, and if we believe the Bible, it gets better as we enter eternity. This life is not all there is. For us, there is no final disappointment, but rather victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Christian perspective. That's the Christian hope. And that is what we believe. And that's what is will see us through these rough waters of life. There's a cemetery stone that I'm often fond of reading. On the tombstone, this is what it says. "Here lies the body of Solomon Pease, under the sod and under the trees. Pease is not here, 'tis only the pod. Pease has shelled out and gone to God." Well, did not our Lord say in today's reading, "Because I live, you also will live"? But the question most of us have is, what about now? Of course, our life in eternity is in the future. But what about our lives in the here and now? Frankly, as servants of Christ, we have lots of work to do. Too much work to ask, "Is that all there is?" We have a message to deliver worldwide. We have loving service to perform. We have good deeds to carry out in the name of God. We have justice to seek and mercy to extend. We have children to educate and the Word of God to proclaim wherever in the world it needs to be heard. We have orders from Christ to obey on a daily basis, orders we follow not because we have to, but out of love for what Christ has done for us. Listen to these words of our Lord found in today's reading. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me." That is our mandate, loving God by obedience and service. As we might expect, there is a hope which accompanies these words of Jesus. If you continue on into John 14, to the verses just beyond where our reading ends, we see where one of the apostles asks Jesus, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answers, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them. And now here's the hope. And we, the triune God, will come to them and will make our home in them." So we have a very present help right here and right now as we go about our Master's work each and every day. We have a loving companion who stays with us in the here and now. We have the risen Christ as our eternal friend. And that's why we find meaning in our daily life. That's why we eagerly perform work for the kingdom of God as needs arise. I always marvel at what our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod can accomplish. Our churches bind together in service to God. And we support many organizations such as the Lutheran World Relief, because we know that our combined efforts bring needed aid for many crises around the world, and even now during the current COVID pandemic. And with those also, there are scores of organizations in our country that have their eyes on injured veterans, families of fallen soldiers, police, and firefighters. There are other organizations like Franklin Graham's Samaritan's Purse, Food for the Poor, working diligently to end hunger in America. Our gifts to World Vision and Compassion International are supporting kids in deprived and war-torn parts of our world with medical aid, food, and clothing. In 26 years, I couldn't even begin to tell you how many organizations our congregation has supported. Your gifts have reached nearly every continent where there's need. Our quilting ladies who make these wonderful warm quilts to give to people to comfort them, people who have absolutely nothing. We have VBS programs with their pennies, dimes, nickels, quarters, and dollars that have been given to missions in Haiti, Guatemala, Mexico, and even locally in East St. Louis. We also have members who individually have done courageous things. For instance, Stephanie Williams, who went to Liberia several years ago to help pregnant mothers during the Ebola epidemic. It was a dangerous work, but she went willingly and even gave serious thought to returning. Brittany Sterling has led an organization which raises funds to help provide water filtration systems to the remote and poorest villages in Africa. Dorinda Werner, our former DCE, has recently done some mission work over in the Republic of Congo. And before that, she would often go to Guatemala, Panama, to do work in orphanages. We have an honorary friend, as I call him, in Chris Michael. Whenever there's a catastrophe in some part of our country, Chris packs up his supplies and heads into any part of our country to clean up and maybe rebuild homes that have been devastated by tornadoes and hurricanes. Many of you, for some 18 years, had joined us to drive 730 miles to Camp Pioneer in Angola, New York, because the camp was about ready to close down. It was dilapidated and distressed. And your efforts helped to bring that camp back to life. You have all helped to support some of these folks, even when you weren't able to pick everything up and go. But I'll bet if you asked any one of these people involved in these missions of mercy, did you ever say to yourself, is that all there is? You would get the same answer. What? No, never thought it. Those of you who love God and follow Jesus may have not even realized it, but it is likely that you and I, by our gifts of muscle, money, goods, or prayers, have been agents of mercy. We have been servants of Christ. When we are involved in service to Christ, it is not likely that we've been bored with life and asked when we went to lie down and go to sleep at night, is that all there is? I don't think so. You see, we've been so concerned about serving than to become jaded and despairing and bored with life. There is nothing more satisfying than to serve Christ. And when you do, the world receives great benefits and God receives the praise. I'm always amazed with the people in our congregation who never speak a word of what they're doing. There's many stories I could tell you. But they give of themselves willingly and jump in every time there's a need. And I know where you get your willing hearts. You love or serve God because He first loved or served you. You see, a willing heart is our joyful response. And that's all God asks of us. If willing hearts are offered in love and service to meet human needs, we'll not have time to ask, is that all there is? In this world, there's always going to be challenges and excitement, things to bring joy to us on a daily basis. And when you live this way, the phases of the blues will be short-lived, and the downtimes will be overwhelmed by extended phases of fruitful and joyful kingdom work. So let us find joy in loving service until we learn just how much more God has in store for us on the day of our resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
In Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven
and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Father in heaven, we pray for the faithful proclamation of Jesus Christ to those who do not know Him, that through hearing the word of the Lord, many may be brought to faith and to the knowledge of truth. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the Church of God here and everywhere, that all who confess Jesus Christ may be united in doctrine and witness, defended against all the assaults of the enemy, and eager to gather together around your word and sacrament in love for one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, hear our prayer for this parish, for the work of the kingdom in our community, and for your purpose fulfilled in our words and deeds. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the agencies and institutions through which we love our neighbor and provide for those in need, for the destitute and the homeless, and for everyone who suffers unemployment and underemployment, that we may aid them in their needs and assist them to find honorable labor to supply all their needs. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the lonely, who suffer the burdens of life without friendship or family, for those depressed or weary of pandemic measures, and for the fellowship of the church, that we may bear one another's burdens and live in community with Christ as our head. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and those who suffer, especially for Kathy Schreiber, friend of Curtis Coupler, who is battling cancer, that you would grant healing to their bodies and peace for their minds, consolation in their grief and sorrows. We also pray especially for Muriel Mayer, who grieves the loss of her sister, Susan Oberhoy. You give comfort to all those in distress, and we ask that you give a portion of that comfort to Muriel and her family. We also pray for Melina Escobar, the friend of the Kemps, who is battling cancer. We pray that you would extend your healing hand upon all of those who call out to you, that if it is in your good and gracious will, you give them a miraculous healing, and by the powerful talents of the doctors and physicians, may grant that to them. But we celebrate with you and with the family of Chris McManus, as his brother Paul was released from the ICU just 5 days after a serious accident. And I thank you for the miraculous healing of my own son Daniel, who, though he has a very severe heart condition, continues to thrive as a testimony to your good and gracious healing. We ask that you remember those we now name in our hearts. We pray for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are far from loved ones and family, and for those who are in the midst of transition. We pray especially for the Mayer family, who are now on their way to their new assignment. We also pray for the Griffin family, who are in the midst of their own preparation to move to New Orleans by the end of this month. Keep them always within your protective arms, and bless their going out and their coming in. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We celebrate those whom you have given another year of life upon this world, O Lord, especially for Steve Foster, Donna Jackson, Tate Huseman, Ava and Cohen Morton, and Greg Conrad, who celebrate the birthdays this week. We also celebrate the gift of marriage you have given, and we ask for your continued blessings on Don and Laura Druin, who celebrate their anniversary this week. Let each of them grow closer to you as they grow closer to their family and one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord our God, as we recall the obedient life and life-giving death of your Son for our salvation, we pray you to strengthen our faith and to make our hearts bold, that we may not fear but address our prayers to you in all humility. Hear us on behalf of Jesus Christ, our great high priest, who even now stands before you on our behalf, pleading our cause with his own blood, until that day when we are delivered from the changes and chances of this mortal life and stand before you in heaven, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Remember us in your kingdom, Lord, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Receive the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you all his peace. Amen. Now go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
One of the joys of ministry since my high school days was worshiping with people from all different walks of life and hearing many forms of praise. It didn't matter to me whether I was in an urban mission with a single song leader playing his guitar, or in a cathedral with an organ and an angelic choir filling the sanctuary like you heard during the sermon hymn. Whenever and wherever the subject is the resurrection of Jesus, it fills the soul. Our closing song is by David Crowder, a Texas boy with a heart for singing with conviction the hope he has in the resurrection of Jesus and the promise of God that there ain't no grave that can hold me down. The Lord be with you.